Memory is an extremely important thing, and on a daily basis, we constantly use our memory in order to remember things, in order to know what to do, in order to speak to certain people about certain projects or ideas, or pretty much anything, honestly. If you think about it, one of the saddest and the most devastating diseases is that of Alzheimer's, that where a person is not even able to remember a loved one or one's children. It's extremely a sad thing to see someone go through that. And of course, within Judaism, memory plays a very central role. We have every single Shabbos, we have statements like Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim and Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis. We constantly have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim and Maaseh Bereishis. As a teacher, one of the most difficult things for students to understand is how could it be that breaking Shabbos is such a serious violation to the Torah, that which the Sanhedrin were to potentially give skila for someone who violated it with Edim and Hasra'ah. How could it be? So of course it's a cornerstone of our Judaism, and this is part of it, is that it represents Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim and Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis. Hashem created the world, and Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. If you look at the end of Shacharis afterwards, printed in the article Sidurim are the Sheish Zechiros, six things we're constantly supposed to remember every day. And many people have a custom to say these six psukim to remember these components, which are so critical to us that we're supposed to constantly remember them. And we are about to begin this week Sefer Vayikra. Sefer Vayikra, which of course to many people is something that's certainly unrelatable, and something which at best we could look at pictures and maybe some clips, some videos to see what the Beis HaMikdash was like, but something that's foreign and something that is so hard to relate to. And to some people, Chas V'Shalom, it could be called boring. And many people could skip it over, and it's not something that that really has much excitement. The Chavetz Chaim stressed the need to learn Sefer Kachim, that in order that when Mashiach comes, that hopefully there'll be people who are so proficient in these halachas that we could resume the avod and the Beis HaMikdash as soon as possible. And it's this Sefer Vayikra, where we're constantly enveloped by the avodah and the Beis HaMikdash, to think that even though, of course, it's hard for us to relate to, how essential it is for us, and to think the fact that we can't relate to it, just how much more so we need Mashiach, how much more so we should daven out and cry to Hashem for us to be able to be in that state again of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, to be able to have the Sefer to be so relevant to us. And of course, this week is Parsha Zachar, where we remember Amalek. And the question is, what is it about? What are we supposed to remember? What does Amalek represent? And I think there's an important idea when you look right before what happens in the two places in the Torah where we talk about Amalek. The first is that of by Parshas Beshalach, when we left Mitzrayim, in the actual accounting. Parshas Zachar is from Sefer Dvarim, where Moshe is speaking to Bnei Yisrael right before he passes, telling them about all the important events. But in Parshas Beshalach, so right before Amalek comes, we have Masa Meriva, where Bnei Yisrael complained to Hashem. And right before the pasuk where we discuss Amalek, it says, "Vayikra Hashem makom Masa Meriva, al riv Bnei Yisrael v'ana sosam es Hashem," that the place is called Masa Meriva because of Bnei Yisrael's fight and arguing and against Hashem. And they said, "Hayesh Hashem b'kirbenu im ayin," is Hashem with us or not? This is a very, very, probably one of the most mysterious psukim in the whole Torah. How could the Doradea say this? But certainly, to some level, the clarity of Hashem, to a certain extent, wasn't there. And then the next pasuk, right after those words, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbenu im ayin, it says, "Vayavo Amalek, vayilachem im Yisrael b'refidim." Then came Amalek, and they waged war with Bnei Yisrael in refidim. So we discuss that line, Hayish Shem Birkebenu Im Ayin, right before Amalek. So what happens by Parsha Zachar? Of course, we're reading Zachar in isolation, but what's right before that in the Torah, in that Parsha in Kitetze? So it says, Lo Yelecha Bikizcha Evan Ba'Aven Gedol Uktana, right before Parsha Zachar, is a whole section about not having improper weights and scales. And a person who's a merchant who has to sell produce and sell different items and goods, so he used to weigh the items. And so this person has, there's a Torah prohibition to have illegal weights to make it so that something really is a little heavier than it's supposed to be, where now you as the seller are able to make a greater profit of this. And that comes right before remembering Amalek, right before the Zachar. So if you look at those two things, we see something actually very interesting. Hayesh Hashem berkevinim ayin. Is Hashem with us or not? And this thing of having improper weights, what's that all about? It's all about the fact that you're acting, when you have improper weights, you're acting as if Hashem's not there. Right? It's like when it comes to Geneva and Gezela, so the difference between the two is one is in public and one is in private. And of course, it's much worse to steal something in private. Because when you're in public, so you're saying, I don't care about anyone here. It doesn't matter. Yeah, someone sees me. Okay. But if you're in private, you're saying, I care that someone would watch me and I would never want to get caught stealing. And it doesn't matter. The person that Hashem is actually right there. And I think over here, it's a similar idea. The fact that this merchant, he has these illegal weights, and he's trying to be a crook. And the person who he's selling to, he has no idea. It's only between him and Hashem. And he's acting as if Hashem's not there. And that's what Amalek is all about. The clear, is Hashem really with us? And then comes Amalek. Amalek represents that uncertainty, that acting as if Hashem's not there. Acting, of course, like what happened with Bnei Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim, when they experience the Eser Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf, and Amalek's like, yeah, maybe that's coincidence. Maybe Hashem is not really on their side. And it's one of the most difficult things, I think, for our generation, in a certain sense, that emunah, that lacking of real clarity, of being able to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in front of us. And it's something that's very difficult for people to truly, truly have 100%. 100% of the time. And I meet with students, and I've met with many students who ask, how do we know Hashem's real? How do we know this is true? And certain students are saying that, and they're practicing Yahadus. And they're going through the motions of fulfilling the mitzvahs, but how do I know? And then of course, there are people that because of this doubt, because I don't know if Hashem's real, that they don't do certain mitzvahs, and they might not daven, they might not keep Shabbos, they might not keep kosher. And it's a very sad thing. And of course, oftentimes, I actually hear where someone says, I know the answers, I've heard the answers, and almost nothing is good. And nothing's able to really pull a person to be able to see that Hashem's right there in front of them. And even, like I said, even those of us who have, of course, hopefully a greater clarity, I think for many people, there are certain times in one's life where they have a certain doubt. It could be a very small thing. It could be a fleeting thought. But that notion, and that's why I think in a certain sense, we use the word belief. We don't go up to someone, do you know God? We say, do you believe in God? The word belief, of course, means that there's a lack of proof. And it's something that, of course, a person should have a strong belief, a strong emunah, and bitachon in Hashem to an extremely high level, to the point where you'd put down all your money that you have, that Hashem exists, but it's not something that you're able to really prove. It's something that you have to go with your gut, of course. And it's when Mashiach comes, when we're able to wage war with Amalek, to be able to never forget them, to never remember that Amalek, of course, which many of us know that Amalek equals Safek. Amalek is that doubt. Amalek is that uncertainty, and until Mashiach comes, when we're able to really wage war with Amalek and destroy them, where we're able to show the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is real and that everything is emes, Moshe emes, Visoraso emes, to be able to have that, and that's what we remember. We never want to be able to forget this. Just like the many things we never want to forget, all are important, of course, for many different reasons, but over here, it's about knowing that Hashem is real, that Hashem exists, that Hashem's constantly involved in our lives. Not that Amalek Asher Karcha, they cool us off. That sometimes a person could have that passion, have that fire. Things are going great, and then something happens. And that's where the suffix sets in. That's where the doubt comes. That's where the Amalek comes. Sometimes it's from something that was going so well. And then that doubt creeps in. So we should be able to never forget what Amalek did, to be able to go beyond it, to realize that's just the Amalek in us. It's not the real thing. The real thing is that Hashem exists. It's the Amalek that tells us that, you know, man, maybe Hashem doesn't exist. And it's our Yetzer Hara that carries with that, to be able to continue to go, to try to fool us, to be able to go down that path. We should never give in to that. We should know the MS. We should be able to realize what Amalek is, and to look Amalek and to look the Yetzer Hara in the eye and say, you're fake. This is wrong. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is real, and Hashem is right in front of me.